tomorrow really matters. You bet it does. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show. It's coming up next, right after the CBS News. Thanks for giving me your Wednesday. Have a great, great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Listen in. That's where it is.
KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. In Overland Park, Kansas, the story is a heartbreak. The body of 18-year-old Kelsey Smith has been found.
She was found at a wooded area.
Police Chief John Douglas says her body was found about 15 miles from the mall where she was last seen, being hustled into her own car by an unidentified man.
The case is not over. We still need the public's cooperation to close this case and bring those responsible for Kelsey's death to justice.
The young man seen on videotape is a person of interest. Police say there may be others. Many missing teenagers are runaways. Some are never found. In Bloomfield, Connecticut, there is joy at the discovery of one 15-year-old girl who's been missing more than a year.
One of the investigators moved a large bookcase and found a concealed room that had been secured and locked, and found the juvenile inside.
Fair to assume, says Detective Jeff Blatter, there was abuse. The girl came from difficult family circumstance, and he says thought she had found friends. Police say the couple, who had evidently held her captive, have been arrested there in West Hartford. Andrew Speaker talked to senators today by telephone from the TB ward in Denver about his trip to Europe, about his return home.
Testifying by phone from his Denver hospital room, Speaker angrily denied he ever violated doctor's orders.
I was clearly told, word for word, I was not contagious and I was not a threat to anyone.
He did try to evade government controls, though, to fly home from Italy, but said the Centers for Disease Control gave him only two choices, raise $140,000 for a private jet or stay.
The authorities were coming in the morning, and I could be stuck there indefinitely in the Italian hospital.
Homeland Security officials said they could offer no excuse for a border guard who let Speaker in despite clear instructions not to. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A drug researcher claims he was threatened when he raised a red flag about the risks of the diabetes drug Avandia.
A new twist in the Avandia controversy as researcher John Buse tells a congressional panel he was once threatened after raising concerns about potential heart risks. He says the drug's maker contacted his boss about a $4 billion stock drop.
People in the company were very upset. There were people in the company that felt that I might be liable for that.
A new study shows the GlaxoSmithKline drug substantially raises heart attack risks. An FDA review is underway. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Ford Motor Company moves to the top of the pack ahead of Toyota for initial quality ranking in more vehicle categories in the latest report from J.D. Power, says Joe Ivers.
It's hard to find good news for Ford these days, but their quality results are not only trending in the right direction, but they're moving at a pretty fast clip.
In the overall rankings, Porsche was number one, Lexus number two, Lincoln number three. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 130 points today. The Nasdaq was off more than 24 points. Oil, $65.96 a barrel, up 35 cents. This is CBS News.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
Well, Dad's a hard-working dynamo. It's Father's Day, let him know. Dad, let your work and worries go. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Father's Day. Go out back, where fresh salmon is grilled moist and tender, and the steaks are thick and juicy. No worries. We're open early for Father's Day.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Father's Day, we're open at 11.
What a way to make your Father's Day.
Romeo and Juliet probably wouldn't work in Georgia. Romeo would be in jail. A judge is considering reducing Gennaro Wilson's sentence.
Wilson was convicted in 2003 on charges of having consensual oral sex with that 15-year-old girl. He was sentenced to 10 years behind bars and ever since has been unable to convince a court that the sentence should be reduced. Now Wilson goes back to court with yet another petition to have the conviction thrown out. Wilson has some heavyweights in his corner, among them former President Jimmy Carter, who wrote the judge last month that the 10-year no-parole sentence is disproportionate to the crime. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
How many people are slapping themselves today at this little headline? 13-year-old Nicole Reuter was working a little bit of ground at Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas, like everyone else, searching for a real gem. That field had been dug and redug by countless other tourists. She found a tea-colored diamond, nearly 3 carats, worth somewhere between 50 and 60 grand, depending how it's cut. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Well, we're going to get the party started here. We've got 3 hours to talk about important issues confronting us, including Americans being held captive in Iran. We'll get to that story up first in just a moment. Also on today's program, author P.M. Carpenter, whose given name is Philip. He's published a book called Political Low Roads, American Demagoguery and the Rise of the New Right. We're going to take you back in history to Pitchfork Ben Tillman, Joe McCarthy, and connect them to the present-day demagogues like, oh, Tom DeLay comes to mind. Or maybe Tom Tancredo on a bad day. Also on today's program, Professor Chalmers Johnson. He's retired from UC San Diego, and he's written a trilogy of books. The third one is called Nemesis, and he's going to join us. We're going to talk about blowback. We're going to talk about Ron Paul, who is the only one of the Republican candidates for president who opposes the continued occupation of Iraq and who is willing to ask the hard questions about how 9/11 happened and exactly why it is that certain people don't like the United States. We'll talk with the professor. And then Larissa Alexandrovna returns to our program. She is the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com, and she's got a hot one about Pentagon secret propaganda efforts related to Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. That's coming up a little later. And we'll get an update on corruption in Washington from Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Many people are calling for the resignation from Congress of Bill Jefferson of Louisiana. I'm one of those voices. And also, CREW was at the forefront of exposing the destruction of visitor records or visitor logs to the official residence of one Vice President Dick Cheney. What you got to hide, Dick, huh? We'll talk about that with Melanie. That's all ahead, and your calls and comments are welcome during interviews or during our free speed zone in the final hour. And that number toll-free is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Joining us first to provide some depth and background on the situation with Americans held captive in Iran is Shiva Balagi, and she is at the Woodrow Wilson Center, and she has published a number of books. She's Associate Director of the Kevorkian Center for Near Eastern Studies at New York University. She published Saddam Hussein, a biography, in 2006, co-edited Picturing Iran, Art, Society, and Revolution, and that was published originally in 2003, and she has other books to her credit as well. Shiva Balagi, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me, Peter. I'm actually not with the Woodrow Wilson Center. I'm Associate Director of Kevorkian Center here at New York University.
I blew that. I was reading from the upper paragraph here where you're actually being quoted talking about one of the captives, Hale Esfandiara. How do we pronounce that?
Her name is Hale Esfandiari.
Esfandiari.
Yes, and she is the actually the director of the Middle East program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center, which is in Washington, D.C. It's a private think tank in Washington, D.C.
And it's headed by Lee Hamilton, that many people know from the 9/11 investigation and more recently the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group last year.
Exactly.
So thank you for that clarification.
Sure.
I did fumble it. So first of all, tell us about yourself and your connections to Iran, Shiva Balagi.
Well, I am an Iranian-American. I have two passports, even though the Iranian government doesn't technically recognize dual citizenship and has recently taken steps to deny admission into the country by those of us who hold two passports.
Mm-hmm.
But I, when I was 20 years old, I lived exactly half my life in the States and the other half in Iran. And I have a PhD in Middle Eastern history from the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great, from Ann Arbor. Did you study with Juan Cole there?
He was one of the people that I took a few classes with, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of admiration for him. He does a great job, and if you haven't been there lately, you can visit his website at juancole.com.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a little background. Have there been stories of Americans being held or detained in Iran that didn't make the news in recent years? Has this been heightened, or the concern heightened, because of the increased tensions between the Bush administration and the Ahmadinejad government?
Well, this is a very unique situation, what we have here with these individuals. Beginning in the late 1990s, under President Khatami, more and more Iranians who've been living in the States and in Europe started to go back to Iran more regularly. Some will go to visit family. Most of us still have family in Iran. And others began to go for scholarly and intellectual work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first time you had, for the first time since the revolution, the Fulbright Fellowship allowed you to go to Iran with that. And you started to have more and more graduate students going and doing dissertation work. The Iranian government began to host conferences and invite Americans and Iranian Americans to go and speak. So there's been gradually over the past decade or so a network of Iranian Americans and American scholars, artists, filmmakers who've been going back and forth between the two countries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been a very fruitful kind of exchange. It has nothing to do with either state. It has nothing to do with either government. We interact with one another outside of the realm of politics. It's really about creating cultural and intellectual and scholarly bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all concerned when the new regime in Iran took over, whether this would be allowed to continue or not. And until recently, there were signs that it was all right. And in fact, President Ahmadinejad had made some comments in his public speeches in the first year of his presidency, which was 2005, in support of Iranians living in exile and how they were helping to further Iran's reputation in other countries.
So in recent months, we have the ratcheting up of tensions, and I believe that the Bush administration has hyped the current threat posed by Iran. Mm-hmm. I don't dismiss the ultimate aims of the government in Tehran, mm-hmm. and I also accept the common notion that they're not just building nuclear power plants with the centrifuges and other systems that they've developed for the enrichment of uranium. That said, if I were in the Iranian government, I would take note of the situation in Iraq. I would factor in the 3 to 5 Iranians who were taken captive by the United States in Mosul in January or February of this year. And so from the Tehran perspective, are these people simply hostages who are being held, hopefully for an exchange with the Iranians from Mosul? Or am I off base? Am I connecting dots that don't connect?
Well, I think that you've asked a lot of really important points and brought up some really critical issues here. So one thing that I definitely want to do is to disaggregate and separate the question of the really problematic relationship that the Bush administration has with the Middle East at large and with Iran in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's too many people who are familiar intimately with Iran who think that the Bush administration has handled its policy on Iran very well.
Indeed.
And, in fact, the Bush administration doesn't seem to have too many people amongst its circle of advisors who actually know Iran really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's something I'd love to get into with you more if you're interested.
Okay.
And, but these particular individuals, and I know them, you know, I know Haleh Esfandiari, I know Kian Tajbakhsh, I know them through work, through university work, through conferences as colleagues. And have, you know, met both of them over the course of many, many years. And they really are what they are. They really are just scholars. They mm-hmm. really are just academics. They're not at all involved in political issues. They're certainly not supporters of the Bush administration. Neither of them wants for there to be any sort of, you know, rift between the Iranian government or the Bush government. This is really not what they're about. Haleh was there to visit her sick grandmother. Haleh herself is 67 years old, and mm-hmm. she's there visiting her 93-year-old mom.
And Tajbakhsh, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
He's with the Open Society Institute, so he's an employee of George Soros. And
he's technically not an employee of George Soros, and that's something that Keon was a professor at the New School here in New York, and that's how I met him, because he was living in New York, and I work here at NYU. And around 2000, he started to spend part of each year in Iran and gradually moved so that he was in Iran most of the time and then would be in the States for short visits. And he was working as an independent scholar. He was teaching at Iranian universities. He started to publish academic work in Persian. And he started to do consultancies. And one of the consultancies that he had was with the Soros Foundation.
Oh, okay.
So and that's really important, because trying to kind of, I think some people have overemphasized that he was, you know, an employee of the Soros Foundation. He mm-hmm. was helping to lead some of the projects that the Soros Foundation had, humanitarian projects, you know. For example, he was working on public health projects like AIDS and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped, for example, with the BAM earthquake relief. And all of the work that he also was doing, ironically, consultancies for the Iranian government.
Hmm. Interesting.
While he was there.
Well, and I'm glad for the clarification.
Yeah.
My sense is that his linkage to the Open Society Institute mm-hmm. Reduces the potential or probability that he is any kind of a spy. That's my point in raising that. So let me take a break, and we'll return and talk more about Americans, a total of 5 of them, currently being held in Iran. We're talking with Shiva Balagi, Associate Director of the Kevorkian Center for Near Eastern Studies. That's at New York University. If you have a question or a comment, bring it on now. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
P&T Puppet Theater reminds listeners, always keep a watchful eye out for all children. Remember, you can't keep an adventurous child from trying to learn, but you can keep track of him while he does. For help or information on the prevention of child abduction, call your local authorities. This message is courtesy of P&T Puppet Theater, serving our community with pride and integrity for years. Give them a call at 831-754-2411 or visit ptpuppets.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour.
We're talking
talking about the three Iranian Americans being held by the Tehran government in Iran. Shiva Balaghi is with us, and she's Associate Director of the Kevorkian Center for Near Eastern Studies at New York University. That's not named after Jack Kevorkian, right?
No, it's not.
I'm sure I'm the first to ask you that question.
It's named after Haghagh Kevorkian, who is a big supporter of the study of the Middle East and Islamic art and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So we have three Iranian Americans, Hale Esfandiaria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Kian Tajbakhsh, and a journalist named Parnaz Azima. And you told me in an email that you don't know too much about the situation of Azima, but you are familiar with, we'll just say, Hale and Kian.
Yes.
And as you look at the situation, is there any plausible explanation for their detention by the Iranian government?
Well, I think that there's two ways to look at it. One is within the context of what's happening within Iranian domestic politics, and the other is within this context of the Bush administration's policies towards Iran. So in the first case, I think that President Ahmadinejad, as many experts on Iran have commented recently, is not terribly popular. He's about as popular a president in Iran as George Bush is in the States. You know, I would imagine if they had public opinion polls that were free in Iran, his favorability rating would be about as low as George Bush's is here.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the two men are very similar in many ways if you look at their personalities. You know, they both kind of have this fundamentalist, religious, apocalyptic, you know,
yeah,
worldview. And so in the past year or so, the Iranian government has started to really crack down on certain kinds of freedoms within Iran, particularly journalists, culture workers, university professors, and students. So these arrests of Iranian Americans are in line with the arrests of Iranian citizens, who are also scholars and activists and NGO workers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. And we are, you know, noting them exceptionally because they are Iranian-American citizens, and in that case, they're unique.
And in addition to the five Iranians being held who were detained in Mosul earlier this year, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on the program. RawStory.com is reporting black operations coming out of the Pentagon. We know that agents of the MEK have been inserted into Iran, some sort of advance team for U.S. Actions down the road. And we know that, at least overtly, there is at least $75 million that has been appropriated by the Congress to provide information or disinformation to destabilize the government in Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
So with that kind of a backdrop, you know, I can understand heightened sensitivity on the part of the Iranian government.
Mm-hmm. I see, that's the catch-22 here, is, you know, some people have said, you know, the Iranian government is paranoid to say that the American government is trying to bring about what they call colorful revolutions. They've called the soft revolution, you know, and that the Iranian government is being paranoid to say that the American government is seeking civil society, support for civil society infrastructure in Iran as a way to bring about regime change. They're not being paranoid. You know, that's declared U.S. policy. I mean, they have a $75 million fund in the State Department. Explicitly, you can go on the Internet of the State Department, you can find it and you can read it, explicitly to support civil society formation and cultural activity and things like that in Iran as a way to bring about regime change. So I think that the fault here really to some extent is with the State Department in not thinking through the wisdom of this policy, because repeatedly the actual democratic seekers in Iran, the students in Iran, the NGO workers in Iran, the human rights activists in Iran have said, we don't want U.S. State Department money. That complicates what we're trying to do. It makes us vulnerable to accusations that we're, you know, working with foreign governments. Just leave us alone. You know, the more you interfere in our work, the harder you make life for us. For months they've been saying this.
And Shiva Balaghi, just 30 seconds remaining, has the U.S. launched any back-channel overtures to try to win the release of these three Iranian Americans?
Well, I don't know about that, but one thing that they could really do is to publicly list the people who have received funding from this fund in the State Department, because I'm certain that the Iranian-Americans Kian Tojbakhsh and Hoda Spandiouri, who are in prison, have not taken funding from the U.S. government. This could really help clarify Bush administration policy, which, by the way, is against the Algiers agreement that they signed when the hostages were released.
Shiva Balagi, thanks for joining us. Out of time.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm happy to say, Measure A. Why am I happy about this?
For reasons,
both condemned, both measures were self-serving.
I believe that Measure C was nothing more than an attempt by the county
and a last-ditch effort by them to help out the developers who gave them large amounts of cash. And on the other hand, Chris Fitz and Landwatch would you have you believe that they only had the citizens' best interest in mind. I personally believe that both sides had their own. Now it's time for you, the voter, to show up at that next county supervisor meeting and make your elected officials do their plan that is actually good for Monterey County. And if they don't, you need to hold them accountable on Election Day.
Missing for nearly a year in Connecticut has been found alive at the home of an acquaintance of her parents. Police discovered her while they searched the home in West Hartford.
One of the investigators moved a large bookcase and found a concealed room that had been secured and locked and found the juvenile inside.
Bloomfield Police Captain Jeffrey Blatter said the girl was pale but would not comment on her physical condition otherwise. CBS News Update, I'm Cammie McCormick.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm happy to say, Measure A. Why am I happy about this?
For different reasons,
both gone down in both measures were self-serving.
I believe that Measure C was nothing more than an attempt by the county
last-ditch effort by them to help out the developers who gave them large amounts of cash. And on the other hand, Chris Fitz and Landwatch would you have you believe that they only had the citizens' best interest in mind. I personally believe that both sides had their own. Now it's time for you, the voter, to show up at that next county supervisor meeting and make your elected officials do their job and write a general plan that is actually good for Monterey County. And if they don't, you need to hold them accountable on Election Day.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef.
Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it five times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Simply to go to my website, pmcarpenter.blogs.com, and you'll see an ad right there on the front page. For the book, you can buy it through that link, Amazon.com, or you can buy it through BarnesandNoble.com.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
So I would suggest just going to pmcarpenter.blogs.com.
Okay, great. Now, in reading the book, I was kind of looking for some coverage of two Southerners who I have memories of. Huey Long, the Kingfish, out of the Depression in Louisiana, and George Wallace of Alabama. Now, you wrote the book, and I'm not trying to be your editor, but why did you choose the individuals you did, and why did you leave out Huey and Wallace?
I wanted to go regionally. I did not want to just get bogged down in Southern demagogues. They're the most famous. As you mentioned, Huey Long is one of the 20th century's greatest demagogues. George Wallace, certainly. Pitchfork, Ben Tillman, Tom Watson. One can go on and on through this list of Southern demagogues. But I did not want to treat so many Southern demagogues. I wanted to look at demagoguery as a national affair. So that's why I chose someone from the Northeast, James Michael Curley, someone from the Midwest, Joe McCarthy, and then, of course, Barry Goldwater from the Southwest and West. And they were also spread nicely throughout the 20th century from actually the late 19th century, Ben Tillman, through, of course, the 1960s with Barry Goldwater, which bumped right up against the founding of the New Right.
And, of course, as I read these stories, in many cases, I have to say, the character who came to mind was Tom DeLay.
Oh, yes.
In particular, with his practice techniques of taking any question and turning it around and blaming it on liberals. The other thing that he's very good at is whatever he's doing, he says, look at that guy over there. He's doing this.
Tom DeLay, you're right. And there's another case of someone who is far from being a great orator.
Yeah.
But he could just look at you and tell you that, that whatever the problem was, there was a simple solution to it, which, of course, was his solution. If it just weren't for that evil, quote-unquote, liberal establishment, which to this day he talks about as though not only is it back in power in Congress, but it has been in power, you know, without interruption since Franklin Roosevelt. I don't know that you would even get him to admit that Republicans held Congress for 12 years and that George W. Bush has been in office for 6 or 7. You know, it's just like none of that exists. It's the liberal elite and the liberal establishment. They control everything. This is the great foe that I mentioned originally, this all-powerful, almost Superman type of organization that they must do you know, almost apocalyptic battle with.
And, Phil, I wanted to mention a character who is very slick and who uses demagoguery at times, but has not so far been tagged as a demagogue. And his name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is the current Gruppenführer and Governor of California. And it's interesting because about 2 years ago, there was a ballot measure that was trending for passage. And it would have amended our draconian three strikes law here in California to make it far more rational and to avoid locking up pizza thieves for 25 to life. And 3 weeks before the election, Arnold went out and got some money, like $3.5 million from a murky donor in Orange County, produced some TV spots that promoted a lie. And it was clearly a lie because the information mouthed by Governor Schwarzenegger had been declared patently false by a judge who stripped it out of the voter guide prior to the election. And what he said, just to be factual, was that if this passes, 26,000 dangerous felons will be released on the streets of California, which was certainly not true based on the language of the ballot measure. It required that 26,000 people had to get a hearing and it could possibly be resentenced, but it didn't envision releasing one person. And Schwarzenegger went on TV with the $3 million and in 2 weeks sunk that ballot measure. And it failed by about 10 points, a stunning 28-point swing in 3 weeks. And that was just some good old demagoguery and $3 million.
Yeah, I don't follow Mr. Schwarzenegger's career certainly as closely as any Californian would. But I think at least now he's regarded by many as the ultimate pragmatist, wouldn't you think?
Well,
he seems to be willing to jump to just about any ship that he think is he thinks is sailing with the right wind.
He has carefully reinvented himself, and there are three Arnolds that we've seen here for public consumption in California. The new one is the guy who is post-partisan and who wants to work with Democrats on global warming. He approved a minimum wage increase after vetoing it 3 years in a row, that sort of thing. 2 years in a row, sorry. So, yes, he has moderated his position, and it's in sharp contrast to the Arnold of 2005, who was punishing nurses and bashing other public workers as he tried to ram through some ballot measures, all of which failed.
Right, yeah, I did an article on my site on Schwarzenegger's little contretemps with the nurses there in California. This was, I don't know, probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Got good reception.
Well, Phil, we're out of time here, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope you get your phones fixed. It was nice to talk with you.
Sorry, the difficulty.
And again, the book is Political Low Roads. We've been talking with Phil Carpenter, his moniker PM Carpenter. You can find him on the web. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A missing Kansas teen is found dead.
We have reason to believe that we have found Kelsey Smith.
While a Connecticut girl missing nearly a year is found alive.
I'm Bob Fuss, and on Capitol Hill, the lawyer with tuberculosis tells his story while federal officials try to explain their mistake.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A sad ending to the search for 18-year-old Kelsey Smith, missing since Saturday night when she was last seen in the parking lot of a Target store in Overland Park, Kansas. Today, her body was discovered across the state line in Grandview, Missouri.
She was found at a wooded area, but I can't tell you if she was directly concealed by bushes.
Overland Park Police Chief John Douglas says they're looking for the young man caught on video who apparently followed Smith to the store and forced her into her car as she left.
We are talking to numerous people at this moment. We would not classify any of them as suspects, or we're not comfortable in identifying them as the person of interest.
Kelsey Smith had just graduated from high school. Police in Bloomfield, Connecticut, where a 14-year-old girl disappeared nearly a year ago, went to a home in West Hartford today with search warrants.
One of the investigators moved a large bookcase and found a concealed room that had been secured and locked and found the juvenile inside.
Captain Jeffrey Blatter says the owner of the home is a 41-year-old animal trainer named Adam Gault, who's an acquaintance of the girl's parents.
This was a child from some troubled circumstances. She found what she believed to be a friend, and from there, we are still questioning to find out exactly what happened at that point.
Gault and a woman living in the house are under arrest. Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 choices of ink, toner, and fax supplies that your business needs, in-store or online. Office Depot is always low-priced and never out of stock. That's our guarantee. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Taking care of business at Office Depot.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
A Senate panel investigating how a man with a dangerous strain of tuberculosis was able to travel heard from the patient himself today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
In dramatic testimony by phone from his hospital room, Speaker contradicted testimony from health officials, saying he followed doctor's orders and was never told to cancel his European wedding plans.
I was clearly told, word for word, I was not contagious. And I was not a threat to anyone.
But reached in Rome, he was given two choices: pay $140,000 for a private jet or be isolated indefinitely at an Italian hospital. Instead, he flew to Canada and drove to the U.S. At the border, his name triggered an alert with specific instructions of how to stop him.
Place mask on subject, place in isolation, well-ventilated room if possible.
But Deborah Spiro of the Department of Homeland Security said the border guard let him through anyway, a breach she called inexcusable. Senators agreed. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As the G8 leaders gathered for their summit in Rostock, Germany, church bells tolled as part of a protest dubbed 8 Minutes for Justice, but not all was peaceful, as CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
When the G8 gathers, so do anti-establishment protesters, and thousands of them clashed with police who used water cannons to repel them from the summit security fence. And there may be a diplomatic clash tomorrow when President Bush sits down with Russia's Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin leader is up in arms about U.S. plans to put defensive missiles in Poland. Putin sees them as a threat. Mr. Bush says they're not for use against Russia, but rather Iran, should it develop a nuclear missile to fire at Europe. Mark Noller, CBS News, Rostock, Germany.
Bob Barker just taped his Price is Right finale, his last show after 35 years. The taping was the hottest ticket in Hollywood. Some fans waited in line since last weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm ready to jump out of my skin. This is a big day. It's like I've waited my whole life for this moment.
Barker's retiring at age 83. Recently, he said he'll miss the show terribly, but he knows he's had a great run.
I feel blessed.
Price is Right will continue with a new host in the fall. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
With Dad's one hard-working dynamo, it's Father's Day, let him know.
Dad, let your work and worries go.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Father's Day. Go out back, where fresh salmon is grilled moist and tender, and the steaks are thick and juicy. No worries. We're open early for Father's Day.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Father's Day, we're open at 11.
What a way to make your Father's Day.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor for investigations at RawStory.com, returns to our program. She's got a powerful new piece about the CIA and the Pentagon running black operations against Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. We'll get the details in about 30 minutes. But first, Professor Chalmers Johnson returns to our program. He is the author of a number of books. He's a professor emeritus from UC San Diego. He's written a number of books about the Cold War and about Japan. And his most recent trilogy, Blowback, The Sorrows of Empire, and the book I have in my hand here, Nemesis, have been published in the last few years relating to American foreign policy. And his claim to fame, among others, is the term blowback. He also appeared in the film Why We Fight that won the Sundance Film Festival prize back there in 2005. Professor, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. It's a pleasure.
Oh, call me Peter, please.
All right.
You're the distinguished one here. First of all, I invited you on the program because Ron Paul, who is a long-shot Republican candidate for president, has been making more coherent statements recently than he did a couple of weeks ago about the origins of the attacks on our country on September 11th. And in the first exchange on the Fox News channel, they permitted Giuliani to break the format so that he could verbally pummel Ron Paul for his lack of orthodoxy and raising uncomfortable questions for people like Rudy Giuliani, who has been proclaimed on Hardball and other programs as a guy who owns 9/11. Did you know that?
Well, I knew that, but I think it's also nonsense. I mean, he's... ever since 9/11, he's gone around publicizing himself as the mayor of all the firemen who saved all the poor women in the towers. We actually know that very few women died on 9/11. They were virtually all men in the top floors of the towers or firemen. The firemen's equipment didn't work properly, so that they didn't get the signal to evacuate the building.
The radios, right?
Mm-hmm. So many of them were killed. That generally speaking, Giuliani simply was absent, or absent without leave that day, but he decided to go ahead and take credit for it anyway. Mm-hmm. The thing I think that was revealed by Ron Paul, and I agree with him, Ron Paul is not the most astute political figure in our Congress.
Well, and in an unscripted basis, he stumbles sometimes, and he was not terribly articulate, although I agree with the points he has made.
But I think the main thing he did was to reveal what a travesty it is that leaders of our country know so little history, are so ill-informed about the world they live in, that I would have thought whatever Ron Paul did, Rudy Giuliani just disqualified himself in the Fox News debate by suggesting that he was a totally incompetent ignoramus on this subject. Mm-hmm. That is to say, Osama bin Laden is not an unknown figure to us, and that's what Ron Paul raised.
Well, but Professor, what we've seen, you know, the way this works is nobody watches the long-form so-called debate.
Yes.
They just lift some sound bites out of it, you know, like a Howard Dean scream or whatever they can come up with, and they pound those repeatedly onto us. And, of course, in this exchange that has been reduced to a sound bite, Ron Paul comes off as a shrill nutcase, and it's used to buttress this, you know, iron fist of Rudy Giuliani.
But if I could just say, this is one of the reasons why we're in so much trouble, the incompetence of our press.
Yes, and my point was that they blow right past the real comment that Ron Paul has made and the questions that he raises and simply use it to add luster to their predetermination that Giuliani's a front runner.
He is, after all, probably our most distinguished investigative journalist, the guy who first broke the story about the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. He was listing the failures of the Congress, of the military, of one thing after another, ever since we invaded Iraq. But he said the worst failure of all was the press, we expect them to provide the citizens with the basis of information by which they can do some elementary oversight on the government, exercise a halfway decent vote. Instead, they've been turned into just spectators of the most banal kind of junk. And the costs are huge. That is to say, the public doesn't understand that the president's question on the day after 9/11, why do they hate us, is truly absurd. It is truly an embarrassing remark to have asked, that we might very well have asked, is there anybody left on earth that doesn't hate us for good reason? But what we're talking about here is the figure of the pious, very wealthy Saudi, Osama bin Laden, who was our ally in Afghanistan. After all, the CIA built his base for him at Khost in order to carry out the largest clandestine operation we ever financed, namely the operation against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan until they withdrew in 1988. Osama was so disgusted by the fact that the moment the Soviet Union withdrew, the Americans lost all interest, themselves withdrew, allowed Afghanistan to fall into such a catastrophic civil war that anybody in his right mind would have welcomed a Taliban victory. Anything to bring that god-awful struggle to an end. The result was that Osama and his colleagues from other parts around the world decided to get even with the Americans, and they did. They attacked us at the World Trade Center itself in 1993. They attacked our Air Force barracks in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia in 1995. They attacked our two embassies in East Africa in 1998. They attacked the USS Cole, a destroyer, in Aden in 2000.
2000, right.
It was just to say, if you didn't know about this if you didn't know that there was a prehistory to 9/11, that this did not come out of the blue, that it had been worked on for a long time, that we should have been better prepared for it. Probably there's only, it looks like, three people in the country who didn't know anything about it at all in positions of responsibility, and they were President Bush, Condoleezza Rice, and Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. And Professor...
And that's all that Paul was raising, was to say, how dare you suggest that all of this started on 9/11 when we were just sitting around minding our own business and some crazed, fanatic Muslims from Saudi Arabia, they were anything but that, as I say, they were former allies of ours, came along and decided to fly airliners into our buildings. This is nonsense and the sort of thing that causes things like 9/11 to have been turned into what it is today, an open sore of terrorism.
Chalmers Johnson is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His most recent book is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. And, Professor, why is it that we have no curiosity, collectively, if the media is any representation of the public, about the underlying causes? And, you know, Michael Scheuer, the former CIA guy who ran the Osama bin Laden desk there, named after his son for a couple of years, he published a book about why they hate us, and it was a very interesting...
I'm looking at it right here in my bookshelf, Imperial Hubris.
Yes. And why is it, though, that we have no curiosity about that? We don't want to understand. We just want to retaliate.
Well, that is one of the things that, of course, since blowback, the term that Ron Paul raised, it's a CIA term. It was first used in the after-action report on the first illegal overthrow of a foreign government that we didn't like, namely the overthrow of the government of Iran in 1953, for the sake of the British Petroleum Company. We tried to suggest that Mohammad Mossadegh, the prime minister, was a communist. The Pope would have been a better candidate than Mossadegh. The truth of the matter is he was extremely irritated with the British for ripping off his country's oil for so many years without ever paying him a decent price, and he was trying to do something about it. The British talked President Eisenhower into this disastrous event that has, in many ways, still playing out in Iraq at this very moment. But in the after-action report that has just been declassified in the year 2000, the CIA uses the phrase, it says, for this operation, we're going to get some blowback. Blowback does not mean just what it sounds like, retaliation for things we have done abroad. It certainly means that. But it means retaliation for things that were kept totally secret from the American public.
Yeah.
So that when the retaliation comes, they're unable to put it in context to see cause and effect. Again, it's the only people being kept in the dark are the American public. The people on the receiving end always know about what's
going on.
They see the special forces troops running through down the streets. But the result is that, of course, then we lash out blindly against anybody that the president may suggest may have been a perpetrator. And even then, the president obviously didn't know anything about it either. And this usually just creates further cycles of blowback, as has now been repeatedly stressed, And I think that was one of the points that Paul was trying to get at. The best thing that ever happened to Osama bin Laden was the way we reacted to 9/11.
Yes, indeed.
That we should never have called it a war on terror. It would have been wiser to have called it an emergency. We should have treated it as a crime, something like an organized crime against innocent bystanders. We should have gone out and run down the people that we could identify. It's not very hard to do, and we're pretty good at it. Extradited them from Afghanistan to the United States, put them on trial, convicted them, and executed them. We probably even could have had the help of the Taliban in doing it if we had any sense at all.
Well, and instead, we have strengthened the hand of Iran,
yeah.
And who knows how many other seeds of blowback have been planted by this secretive administration that believes in a preemptive approach.
Well, that's what the State Department's annual reports on terrorism say continuously since 9/11. The situation is worse. It's expanding. There are more terrorists. The best recruiting device ever invented was Iraq, with pictures of healthy young GIs torturing tied-up prisoners, healthy young GIs kicking down the doors of private homes.
Right. Professor, let me stop you there. We've got to run to a break, and we'll pick up
there as
we continue. Nemesis is the book. Chalmers Johnson is our guest. If you have a question or a comment, call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey everybody, welcome to Wednesday, and let's talk a little traffic here. We do have a problem working in Watsonville on Browns Valley Road. It is a crash. It's Browns Valley Road at Avocado Road. A van skidded off the roadway. Crews have actually closed the roadway to recover the vehicle. Prunedale, we have two problems. One northbound 101 after San Juan Road, an injury crash. We have fire crews and paramedics on scene. Two vehicles are on the shoulder. The other south 101 before Echo Valley. It's a bus that is blocking the right lane there. And in Felton, watch out for a problem. Roadway partially blocked because of a disabled vehicle. It's Summit Avenue at Terrace Way. And CHP on the way to the scene. This report brought to you by Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder. Don't forget to start your day with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder to keep your feet cool, dry, and odor-free. Gold Bond.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. David Bowie there, putting out fire with gasoline. Seems to be a pretty fair description of America's foreign policy. My guest is Chalmers Johnson, a professor emeritus from UC San Diego, and the third book in his current trilogy, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. It's a great read. And, Professor, during the preceding segment, we mentioned Michael Scheuer.
Yes.
And during our day-long commercial break there, I had time to check my email, and I want to thank Terry Kawasaki, he knows who he is, for sending me a link to Asia Times, that's atimes.com, online. And here is a piece by Michael Scheuer today called Al-Qaeda's American-Style Message. And I'll get to this later in the program. I don't want to take your time right now. But it's an interesting angle on an American recruit to Al-Qaeda.
Well, there's no question that Scheuer is somebody who knows Osama bin Laden and his connections with the United States.
Yes, indeed. Jake joins us from Arcata. Good afternoon, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Chalmers. I'd just like to, basically reiterate what you guys are saying about the issue of imperial blowback.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called mainstream media in America, they do everything they can to cover up the causes for why these things are happening around the world. 9/11, obviously, if you take the official story seriously, which I don't, but for a second I will assume that Al-Qaeda was a culprit and the whole thing about 19 Arabs with box cutters was true. If that's true, then obviously it has to go back to what we did to the Soviets in Afghanistan. In fact, we were funding those militants in Afghanistan prior to the Soviet invasion.
Yes.
Apparently the Soviets invaded as a response.
Yes.
And we wanted the Soviets in Afghanistan because we knew it would be a quagmire, much like our invasion of Iraq has turned
Brzezinski,
into a quagmire.
Brzezinski, who was then National Security Advisor, has testified to exactly that. He said it looks like we're going to give them their Vietnam.
Yeah, and Brzezinski, of course, is this guy who wrote The Grand Chessboard in 1997,
right,
where he's talking about the big game in Central Asia. And, it seems like a lot of what's going on with Al-Qaeda, we really have to go back to the late 70s, early 80s with the Reagan-Bush administration and the Carter administration and look at how we, in fact, set up people like bin Laden.
Hold on, Jake. Go ahead, Professor.
By the way, it goes back quite a ways. It's American imperialism combined with the required militarism produces exactly the sorts of problems we've gotten in today. But I think you identify a very important point. Our constitutional system depends upon a kind of elementary oversight of what the government is doing by the public. If you can't get that information, if you're just turned into a spectator, something back in the Roman Empire going out for bread and circuses, you can't do it. And it's going to be taken away from you. I don't understand why the American public tolerates such incompetent media, why it sits around with sanguine watching an Australian fascist press lord, Rupert Murdoch, press lord decide that he's going to up and buy the Wall Street Journal. That is to say, we know the public is misinformed because they can't possibly get through the penetrating layers of secrecy that have been thrown up by the Pentagon, the CIA, the White House, to do their own purposes rather than the purposes of the people.
Well, you're being a little tough on Rupert Murdoch there. I think he's going to bring page three topless girls to the Wall Street Journal.
Won't
that be an upgrade?
Yes, he has already demonstrated his tremendous powers of intellect by saying that he thought the Wall Street Journal's articles were too long.
Jake, do you want to follow up?
Well, yeah, you know, Fox News viewers, they can't handle too much information. All they can handle is what Bill O'Reilly and Sean Clandy have to say, which is not the truth.
Yeah. All right, Jake, thank you very much. Professor, going forward here, how do you think Ron Paul is going to play out? And I'm not too interested in promoting his candidacy,
no.
But I'm interested in candor, and that's something that he seems to have at least a corner on in the Republican team.
Well, it would be nice if we had some halfway decent background reporting by our free press. It's always going around snapping its suspenders about how free it is and things of this sort. Ron Paul is a conservative Republican congressman from Texas. He's a libertarian. He actually takes seriously his oath of office. And he ought to be properly identified in the press. Instead, the way it comes out, you'd think he was some sort of harebrained kook. Whereas the truth of the matter is, what you can't believe is that people like Giuliani could actually be the leading Republican candidate.
Yeah.
That's suicidal.
Indeed, it is. I only have about 40 seconds, but I can't resist asking you to comment on Putin and Bush and their war of words.
Well, it's not just a war of words. That is to say, we've betrayed the Russians rather badly. What would you expect if, after you agreed with us back in 1991 to liquidate the Cold War and to liquidate the former Soviet Union, that in response the United States should start advancing for every former country that was a satellite of the Soviet Union to putting them into the NATO military alliance,
mm-hmm.
or trying to overturn governments in the Ukraine, in Georgia, in one place after another. They've finally now gone too far by talking about missile defense systems in Czechoslovakia and Poland.
Yeah.
The Russians are saying we've had enough.
Got to stop there. I'd love to talk more. Thank you, Professor Johnson.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. The book is Nemesis. I'm Peter B. Collins. Larissa joins us next right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
On the way to the G8 summit, the president made it clear the Cold War is over. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. And why would he need to remind everybody 20 years after it ended? Because Russian President Putin is apparently ready to start it up again by retargeting his nuclear missiles at Europe. We'd hope maybe they'd lost the coordinates. Damn that Google Earth! But why would Vladimir Putin be upset with us? Is this something that we said?
In Russia, reforms that were once promised to empower citizens have been derailed, with troubling implications for democratic development.
No, it can't be that. The president was just stating a fact. No, Russia is upset over the anti-missile missiles we plan to set up in Poland and Czechoslovakia. Even though they're designed to protect Europe not against Russia, but against radical, undemocratic rogue states, of which Russia is certainly not one, since it is a democracy. Except for taking over TV stations, yelling the opposition, and selling nuclear fuel to Iran. But I'm not worried. You know, Putin may be a sourpuss, but our president has a secret weapon all his own. It's his homespun folksy charm.
My message will be, you know, Vladimir, I call him Vladimir, that you shouldn't fear a missile defense system.
So you see, Putin may think he's angry at us. He may want to be angry at us, but when the two men meet, that door's going to open, and well, we won't be able to get the tape of the actual conversation, but I think it's going to start off something like this.
Vladimir, you shouldn't fear a missile defense system.
And he's going to melt. Big chunks of ice will slough off his forehead. Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Hi, Michael Waltrip here. You don't have to drive a 500-mile race to know the importance of getting the most out of a tank of gas. Let NAPA help make your fuel go further with 3M Complete Fuel System Cleaner for just $8.49 a bottle. It not only keeps your car running smooth, it also restores power and fuel efficiency. The pros have trusted 3M car care products for years, and you can too. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Managing to retain my mild-mannered composure for the most part today. I had a little snit over my PC crashing, but I've recovered. I still hate PCs. I just don't mind telling you that. I would walk 10 miles on fire, 10 feet. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, you are in the beach. I'm pressed with a line and the grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. That tough is enough. Coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan returns to the Peter B. Collins Show. She's the executive director of CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She'll update us on the indictment of Dollar Bill Jefferson, a Democrat from Louisiana, and the latest on Dick Cheney's destroyed visitors' logs from his official residence there at the Naval Observatory. But hey, Larissa's back. It's been a couple of weeks. Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor for Investigations at RawStory.com, is with us again today. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm good, thank you. It's nice to be back.
Well, things have been busy, and I'm glad to have you on again. You got a powerful story up today, and before we dive into it, have you seen the advertisement that was inserted on the page at Raw Story?
What, the emergency survival kit?
No, actually, it's something from surveys.com.
No, I haven't. Why? What is it?
Well, it kind of fits the article that you wrote here. It is a fetching woman with beautiful eyes looking directly at the camera, and she's holding one finger up to her luscious lips.
And how does that relate to this story?
Well, it kind of says, keep it secret.
Huh. No, I have not seen this.
Well,
I'm looking now. I don't see it.
Oh. Well, I have the page up. I loaded it a couple of hours ago, and it hasn't refreshed, so maybe they've changed the ad.
Well, they do rotate. So.
Yeah, but it's kind of cute, and anyway, it just kind of fit the sensibility of what you're talking about here, which is some covert Pentagon operations related to Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. Tell us what you have learned.
Sure. It's actually CIA black propaganda operations. The article basically has several key points that it makes. It's essentially working off the... initially, I had read the ABC report regarding a newly developed program, newly approved by the president for the CIA to launch a covert non-lethal war inside Iran. So I pursued my own sources about this because I was alarmed that... Well, I hadn't gotten the story if there was that story. And it turns out that the story the ABC story has several flaws, and that one of the main things is that according to the ABC story, there's a new presidential finding, which is essentially a directive that empowers the CIA and has congressional oversight. That's not true. There are several presidential findings, two that I've been told, at least two, over the last few years. So it's not anything new. Nor is this program, this black propaganda program, all that aggressive. It's actually fairly tame in comparison to some of the other things going on. And finally, it's not restricted to Iran only. It also targets other countries in the Middle East, including Syria and Lebanon, organizations such as Hezbollah and other countries not, you know, outside of the Middle East. So that's one facet of the story, or the article rather. The other element has to do with the covert ops, the real covert ops, the Iran-Contra type of covert ops being run out of the Pentagon, and certainly, you know, you and I have talked about this over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new to us, and even these newer ones are of the same kind of cloth in terms of using proxy groups and such. So the article deals with the largely ignored covert ops being run out of the DOD and clarifies the Brian Ross article from ABC in terms of what the CIA program really is and the propaganda program. And that's essentially the article. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Now, I did kind of jumble things together there at the beginning, but we have two separate programs here, right? A CIA black propaganda program and a Pentagon operation that is more based on covert infiltration by the MEK and others. Do I have that right?
Well, essentially what it is that traditionally covert activities such as you said, penetration, use of proxies, things of that nature, fall under the CIA domain of activities and require a presidential finding and congressional approval. And then there's a whole separate group of programs in the military that are called, you know, essentially standard military operations. And those can include covert activities such as advance teams, you know, reconnaissance, things like that. So they're separated. What's happened is that in this administration, the CIA has been, its turf has been taken away and given to the DOD, who is running what are standard CIA ops. And because they don't require, they fall under the rule of standard military operations, even though they're not, because they're buried there, there is no congressional oversight. And it's sort of a great way to kind of exploit the loophole in the law and avoid congressional oversight by moving generally covert CIA type of activities into the DIA or the DOD.
And so if the CIA were running them, even if they were covert, there would be some oversight by the intelligence committees or elsewhere by the Congress.
Right.
But there's less oversight of these same types of activities conducted by the Pentagon?
Well, they're not. Traditionally, what's happened is, you know, right after Iran-Contra, when the CIA, just for your listeners, Iran-Contra was when the Reagan-Bush administration sold weapons to Iran, then as now, an avowed enemy of the United States, and funneled the money to a right-wing terrorist organization or a collective of organizations called the Contras in Nicaragua. This was done using CIA and other agency assets, and it was done illegally. And so after that, Congress passed a series of laws that finally in 1991 became the law that's on the books, defining what covert operations are, which fall to what agency, and what's, you know, what kind of congressional oversight is required. Now, what they came up with, the various oversight committees, is that the traditional military operations because you've got soldiers on the ground and things of that nature, you can't very well expect, or at least this is the argument, the president to come to you, you know, and say, okay, this is what we're doing every time they're doing something. But they're forbidden from doing things that are traditionally what the CIA does. So what the DOD has, or rather this administration has done, is empowered the DOD to do CIA things without telling Congress and still claiming that they're running standard military operations that fall within the legal framework, which they don't. In other words, there's certain types of covert activities that only the CIA is allowed to do.
Right.
And the DOD is doing them, but denying doing them, essentially. And because there is no law saying Congress has to have oversight of every particular little thing that happens during a standard military operation, so Congress has no oversight. And so Congress, it's like don't ask, don't tell. Only
yeah.
It hasn't. Right. So that's essentially what's going on. They've exploited this loophole in the 1991 law, whereby covert activities, you know, are assigned to what agency and such, and how they're managed.
And we've talked in the past about the rebranding of the Office of Special Plans.
Right.
Is that where this Pentagon black activity is being coordinated and directed?
I don't know where the latest activities are coming out of. I got very few details in terms of how that's operating. It would likely seem so simply because the Office of Special Plans now, as you say, the Iranian Directorate, the Office of Special Plans did run covert operations that were not military operations and were essentially illegal. So it would stand to reason that probably the Iranian Directorate is doing the same thing, given that it's the same group of people.
But
I don't know for sure, and certainly I didn't get many details with regard to that.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. If you have a question or comment, lines are open for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Quoting now from your article and referring now explicitly to the CIA, former and current intelligence sources tell Raw Story, however, that there have been at least two of these presidential findings over the past few years which have empowered the agency, the CIA, to run an open secret information war against Iranian interests, mainly leveraging resources and assets within the U.S. and France. Now, describe what you mean by, or what they mean, by open secret information war. Is this the product of the $75 million allocation that Secretary Rice asked for and received about a year ago?
Well, technically, only $50 million or so went to this. But yes, to answer your question, it was part of that whole democracy fund. The other money went to other things, but it's roughly about $50 million, and that's essentially what they're doing. It's nothing as aggressive or new as the ABC article suggests. And what is, you know, what could be seen as new is that this influx of money, this funding. But what they're running is, and I don't know the details; those are classified. But it just the basics appear to be a kind of fairly open secret. In other words, everyone knows what's going on, where they're using black propaganda. That is, they're putting out information that appears to be coming out from a separate source or separate sources that is in one way or another discrediting or affecting the target groups or individuals or countries. So they're doing stuff like that. And they're using also, they're propping up a lot of fairly overt so-called pro-democracy Iranian types of groups. So they're not dealing with proxy types of groups like MEK, actual terrorist groups. They're dealing with fairly mainstream groups, you know, think tanks and such.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fairly vanilla kind of program that, you know, essentially just goes to show how really how little power in terms of operations the CIA has been allowed to have under this administration. Which necessarily doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just that...
Well, but if it's simply a shift to the Pentagon for the purpose of being out of the reach of congressional oversight, I don't see that as a gain.
No, it's not a gain for the public. That's true. You know, and the other thing is, I think professionals in intelligence, whether it's CIA or elsewhere, prefer to have professionals handling intelligence matters, not civilians in the Pentagon, because we're not talking about DIA. We're talking about the policy side of the DOD. So, you know, I think intelligence folks want professionals doing these things, and I tend to agree with that. And I think, you know, better a covert, you know, kind of non-aggressive propaganda war than an actual all-out war. But the lack of congressional oversight is the real key here, and that's the real problem. And it's, you know, everyone's making a lot about the ABC article, and, you know, it made literally within minutes across the globe, but no one's really looking at what the DOD is doing, and that's by far, at least what I'm told, is much more dangerous, much more risky, and, you know, it's not standard military stuff like reconnaissance or advance teams or, mm-hmm. you know, it's stuff that the DOD is technically not allowed to do. So.
We're gonna take a break and return. We'll hear more from Larissa Alexandrovna. You can read the story for yourself at rawstory.com. And if you have a question or comment, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's the back cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the latest, and let's go on over to Felton Summit Avenue. At Terrace Way, disabled vehicle blocking the roadway partially there. Getting more of a problem in Salinas and West Polanco at Cooper Street. It is a bumper, it's a big bumper, and it's in the lanes, and it's being reported as well. All right, other than that, no other problems report. We had a couple earlier crashes. They've all been cleared up. Let's hit you with a little bit of, how about some road work? Looks like Highway 101, both directions at Main Street in Salinas. The off-ramp closed from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. through June 8th for electrical work. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Everline, the off-ramp closed 24 hours a day. Well, this report brought to you by Days Inn. Gas prices won't help your travel budget this summer, but Days Inn hotels sure will. Stay where you get a free breakfast, a free high-speed internet, trip rewards. Book now at daysin.com for the best value under the sun.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our guest is the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna, back on with us today. And there's a powerful story that she posted a couple of days ago entitled CIA Running Black Propaganda Operation Against Iran, Syria, and Lebanon. And one of the things you reference in the story, Larissa, is we talked earlier about the Democracy Fund. $50 million is for the apparently the Pentagon and the CIA. And the remainder is earmarked for the Broadcasting Board of Governors. And that is identified as an appropriation for Iran. Well, the Broadcast Board of Governors is under scrutiny. New York Times reporting today that they're seeking an outside review after recent broadcasts that included inflammatory language referring to Israel or Jews. And they cite a lengthy broadcast in December of Sheikh Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah. And so this is coming under some scrutiny. And I find it amusing at some level because Al-Hura, I think it's called the True One in English, is clearly a propaganda service.
Right.
And we appear to get caught up in believing our own propaganda, or at least reacting to it.
Well, isn't... But that's nothing new, and what's worse is it's a very effective way of laundering propaganda, because domestic propaganda is illegal. It's a great way, you know, you put things out in the foreign sphere that trickle back into our own media,
mm-hmm.
And so it's a great way to launder information, you know, that's politically. Usually politically motivated.
Yeah, and the stuff that the American tabloids won't touch. that's the other. That's
I mean, you see, yeah, when the Inquirer becomes the new gray lady, we're in trouble. Yeah.
Now, no,
I did not know that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Now,
what I find alarming, though, is, you know, aside from that nobody cares what the DOD is doing or that the ABC is running clearly wrong information, in order to, in my opinion, move attention away from what the DOD is doing. What, you know, is that our, you know, tax dollars are going to fund these racist types of inflammatory things, and they're going to also, you know, basically, we're funding lies in order to convince other people to overthrow their own government.
Mm-hmm.
It's sobering.
Yes, it is. Now, I wanted to ask you, because you include Syria and Lebanon in the CIA black propaganda operation,
right.
And I'm interested in seeing if these dots connect or maybe they don't. But Dar Jamail, who is a great reporter who has done a lot of work on Iraq and most recently was in Lebanon, he reported that Fatah al-Islam, which is this group that is described as inspired by al-Qaeda, and which has a stronghold in one of the refugee camps in Tripoli, and that's been under attack by the Sinjora government in Lebanon, has actually been supplied by the United States. Now,
Saudi Arabia.
Is that how it worked?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly how it worked.
What do you know about that? Fill us in.
I actually don't have enough details on that, but because I'm also there's a second part of my article, or rather a second installment, and part of that covers some of this and what you just talked about. And I don't have a lot of details yet on that, and I don't know if I will. I just know the basics, and that is that we're using Saudi Arabia as a go-between, which, by the way, is not new. We did the same thing with al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we used the Saudis. We're using the Saudis to fund, you know, the any number of organizations that are, some of whom are on the State Department's terrorist list. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we're essentially, but in this case, in the Lebanon case, we're actually, you know, fighting another proxy war. We're in almost four wars now. Because if you remember Somalia, Mm-hmm. There was another proxy war of ours. And so I don't have a lot of details, but I do know that it's the Saudis are acting as the go-between.
Now, have you found any interest on Capitol Hill in this reporting?
Are you kidding? I assume you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I would think that some of the oversight chairman would be very interested in knowing more about this. Let me
tell you a story. I remember a while back, I reported, I think it was last year, early last year, that I broke the story that we were, or the DOD was using a terrorist group called the Mujahideen al-Haq, M-E-K.
Mm-hmm.
There was an attempt to have congressional hearings of this,
mm-hmm.
and there was a request for people to come, and nobody showed up. I mean, nobody. No one from DOD, no one from state. They just didn't show up.
Really?
Right. So.
But that was under a Republican Congress.
Right. Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know. I think that the Democrats are, frankly, so overwhelmed with crisis after crisis, scandal after scandal. I don't think they know where to begin. You know, Waxman's committee is just absolutely swamped. They're going from defense, the contracts, the no big contracts,
mm-hmm.
to the lost money in Iraq. You've got the whole DOJ thing.
Right.
You've got the plane case.
Yeah.
I mean. It almost seems, like the Iraq war itself. So it's almost like, I don't think at this point they are in a position to fully investigate something of this magnitude that's been going on for 4 years.
Well, but on the flip side of that, it's something they really need to know about, because
sure.
if there's an end run and there's the potential of a military conflict with Iran, they ought to be on top of that. Thanks, Larissa. We got to run. Appreciate
Thanks
your work.
Thanks for having me.
That's Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Two of America's missing teenagers have been found, one dead, one alive. From Overland Park, Kansas, CBS News correspondent Gwen Belton reports the search for 18-year-old Kelsey Smith ended when a body was discovered across the state line in Missouri.
They believe that it is the body of 18-year-old Kelsey Smith. A positive identification is pending. The body was found in an area called Longview Lake. Authorities were led there by signals that they received from the high school graduate's cell phone.
She'd apparently been abducted from a parking lot on Saturday. A Connecticut girl who disappeared nearly a year ago was found today in a hidden room at a house in West Hartford. Madeline Franco is a neighbor.
It's scary, especially since there's a bus stop literally right across the street from there. And there's children, always gathered around there in the mornings and in the afternoon.
The 15-year-old's condition isn't known. A man and a woman are under arrest. The traveling TB patient told his side of the story to Congress today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Speaking by phone from his isolation hospital room in Denver, Andrew Speaker denied that he disobeyed doctor's orders and knowingly put anyone at risk. He says before going to Europe for his wedding, he was still working as a lawyer, going to court, and met with county health officials.
I was told that, Fulton County would prefer I not travel, but I was also told I was not contagious.
I was told I was not a threat to anyone.
Earlier, the committee was told a border guard saw on his computer screen a directive to stop Speaker when he was driving in from Canada, but ignored it. Homeland Security officials called that lapse inexcusable. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Is this hearing really necessary? The question was raised today as a House panel took a look at the popular diabetes drug Avandia. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
When Avandia was approved 8 years ago, researcher John Buse voiced concerns about heart risks at a conference, and he was threatened, he says, telling a House committee the drug's maker blamed him for a $4 billion stock drop.
There were people in the company that felt that I might be liable for that.
A new study warning of increased heart attack risks has triggered an FDA alert. Critics see this as another example of inadequate drug safety monitoring. Several committee Republicans, including Utah's Chris Cannon, consider the Avandia controversy a politically motivated scare.
Why do we have this sensationalist hearing when everybody agrees that the data is indeterminate and you've got a really important drug, and in the middle of all that, you're whacking on a business?
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
While top executives of Detroit's Big Three were telling Congress they need relief from high health care costs and regulation, the new initial quality rankings were announced, and the winner is not Toyota.
It's hard to find good news for Ford these days, but their quality results are not only trending in the right direction, but they're moving at a pretty fast clip.
Joe Ivers of J.D. Power & Associates says Ford won 5 out of 19 categories. Toyota, which won 11 last year, was down to just 3. The Dow down 129 points. This is CBS News.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
Yo, so what'll it be?
A dozen pork chops, a couple of those strip steaks, 2 pounds of kielbasa, and a half ton of peace of mind.
That's it?
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I like some pride of ownership, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com.
There is a way to move more planes through the sky, but somebody will have to pay for it. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
The head of the Federal Aviation Administration says this is urgent.
Anyone who's experiencing the kind of delays we're having in the system is hoping that Congress will get to it.
Marion Blakey telling CBS News to fight delays and cancellations. New satellite-based air traffic control would cost an extra $1 billion a year.
The good news from a commercial passenger standpoint is this is likely to bring the cost down.
A tax on our tickets would be eliminated, while airlines and large private and corporate jets using air traffic control would pay new fees, $25 a flight, plus a higher fuel tax. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Animal trappers in India have gone high-tech. Instead of using bait to lure leopards, they're using ringtones, the sound of goats, cows, and roosters. So far, they've caught 6 leopards that came dangerously close to villages and were released in forests far away. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 choices of ink, toner, and fax supplies that your business needs, in-store or online. Office Depot is always low priced and never out of stock. That's our guarantee. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome this hour. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And you know the number. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. To get things started this hour, we turn to Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And I hope they have overtime rules there at CREW, Melanie, because you must be working 15, 18 hours a day these days.
You know, so much corruption, so little time.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to talk about today. Let me start off with news that just came across my email in the last 20 minutes. The Jack Abramoff scandal is the gift that keeps on giving. And Italia Federici was named in a two-count criminal information that was announced by the Justice Department today. Tell us who she is and how she deserved this great honor.
Italia Federici was the head of an organization called CREA, Council for Republican Environmental Advocacy, which is an oxymoron in and of itself.
Yes.
But what she used to do before that was she was very closely associated with Gail Norton and worked with Gail Norton, who was the former Secretary of Interior out in Colorado.
Right.
And then when Gail Norton moved to Washington, so did Italia Federici to head up CREA. And there she became very close to Stephen Griles, the number two at the Department of Interior. And it may well be that the two had a romantic relationship, from what I understand.
Well, we know that they bought a house together, right?
No, that's somebody else. He bought a house with a woman over at the Department of Justice, Sue Ellen Woolridge.
Oh, okay. I can't
who also got in trouble for working in the office of clearing Griles of misdeeds when she worked in the Interior's Inspector General's office, even though the two had a romantic relationship.
I need a scorecard to keep track of Griles' babes.
It is hard, but he recently married her. But before her, there was Italia Federici, and Italia Federici also became close to Jack Abramoff, who would have his clients make large contributions to CREA in order Indian tribes who were gaming casinos who had no environmental issues at all, but they would make those contributions, and then Italia Federici, Jack Abramoff would write to Italia Federici, and this all came out in email, and ask her for help contacting Stephen Griles for help with his casino clients, and she, of course, was all too happy to comply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Griles, as you may recall, pleaded guilty a couple of months ago to crimes involving influence peddling of Jack Abramoff, and now it's Italia Federici's turn. This was clearly coming when she testified before the Senate Indian Affairs Committee last year. She was clearly lying through her teeth, and John McCain really could barely stand the sight of her.
Yeah.
And it was clear that her indictment was forthcoming.
Well, we'll keep watching this because the Abramoff file is bulging, and probably more indictments or informations will surface before too long.
Oh, sure. One of your favorites, John Doolittle, still in that scandal, and we'll probably see him get indicted in the coming months.
Okay. Well, I like that prediction. I hope it comes soon. The next thing I wanted to ask you about is the sentencing yesterday of Lewis Scooter Libby. Your firm, your organization, CREW, is representing Joe and Valerie Wilson, and you issued a statement quoting Ambassador Wilson as saying that he hopes that Libby will now cooperate with Patrick Fitzgerald, the special counsel there. Any prospect of that whatsoever?
Yeah, that's really the product of wishful thinking. But we can just be happy that at least Scooter Libby is going to jail for almost 3 years for lying to the ladies and gentlemen of the lying to the grand jury. And it was great that Judge Walton, who is a conservative Bush appointee, took it upon himself to say that the evidence was overwhelming against Libby, and he was going to not only sentence him, but he was going to have him start serving that sentence pretty soon. There are arguments to be heard over that next week, But Judge Walton is not inclined to let Libby stay out pending appeal, which, of course, puts the pardon issue right on the president's desk much sooner than he was hoping. He thought he'd be able to wait out Libby's appeals and get much closer to the end of his term before being confronted with the issue of whether or not to pardon Libby.
Now, you're no longer under any, admonishments from Judge Walton, because you're managing a civil case that's certainly separate from the Libby proceedings. So what can you tell us from your point of view about the degree to which Patrick Fitzgerald completed his work? I feel like the Scooter Libby indictment and conviction, while it's satisfying in a certain way, barely scratches the surface of the wrongdoing related to the leaking, the intentional leaking of Valerie Plame's identity.
Well, that's definitely the way we feel over at Crew. You know, we learned earlier this year that the White House has lost, quote, lost, over 5 million email, and some of those were potentially related to the matter of the outing of Valerie Plame. So we asked Patrick Fitzgerald to consider reopening his investigation to look into the missing email to see if there were email related to, say, Karl Rove and his part in the Plame leak, but we didn't hear back from Fitzgerald. And as much as I think that there should be more of an investigation, it seems that Fitzgerald is done.
Mm-hmm. It does seem that way, and I'm disappointed, frankly. I think there are more chapters that could have been written there. Anything else you'd care to add about the Libby sentence?
No, let's just hope that he really starts serving it soon.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, as it's been explained to me, Judge Walton, in order to free Libby for a long time here to pursue appeals before he serves his sentence, would essentially have to invite a higher court to overturn his conduct of the proceedings.
Scooter Libby has already filed a notice of appeal, and he said he intends to appeal, and he will appeal, but what Judge Walton said is he's just not that likely to win on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And he could leave him out pending appeal. That happens often in white-collar criminal cases, but Judge Walton said, frankly, he's just not inclined to do that, and that is in line with Judge Walton's reputation as a very tough judge. And, you know, Republicans who are talking so much about wanting to, that this is a miscarriage of justice, I mean, they're asking Judge Walton to say, a sitting federal judge to say he doesn't believe in a jury system, that he believes the jury came back with the wrong verdict, and that's a very rare and highly unusual step for a judge. So I think Judge Walton is right on course. There was a conviction, and people who are convicted serve sentences.
Melanie Sloan with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Crew was front and center in the issues that have surfaced in the past week or so related to the destruction of visitor logs at Vice President Cheney's official residence at the Naval Observatory. How did this come to your attention?
Well, we had submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request. We submitted two different ones regarding these Secret Service visitor records, records of who comes in and out of the White House and the Vice President's residence are managed by the Secret Service. And the Secret Service is an agency, and agencies are subject to the Freedom of Information Act. What the White House has done is they have said that any visitor records of people going in and out are, in fact, what they call presidential records. And they're saying this by saying they merely wrote a memo telling the Secret Service that they viewed these as presidential records. So, voila, they're presidential records. Now, the problem with that is, of course, that then any sitting president could declare any agency records to be presidential records and thereby take them out of any public access by making them inaccessible under the FOIA. During the course of this suit, and we had sued for two different sets of records relating to Jack Abramoff and his cronies' visits to the White House, and then records relating to visitors of conservative Christian leaders' visits to the White House. And during the course of that suit, we received a letter that the Vice President's lawyer sent to the Secret Service saying, well, as you know, Secret Service, we've asked you for all these records back. We've told you that they are presidential records, not Secret Service records, and so we assume that you've been destroying them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that the Secret Service is now destroying records at the Vice President's behest to keep any records of who comes in and out of the White House or the official residence of the Vice President a secret.
And do we have any recourse, at least going forward? Can you require that these records be retained?
Well, we're in federal court to see what we can do about that and see if we can get a federal judge to say that those records are, in fact, agency records, not presidential records, and that they can't be destroyed.
Okay. Well, I'll keep us posted on that. And finally, this week, an 18-count indictment was returned against a guy who's been on the crew lists of, most tainted congressmen, the Dirty Dozen, and then the expanded list. I've got our official theme music here.
Hey, dollar, dollar bill, story small, spring.
Dollar Bill Jefferson of Louisiana was indicted. People know about the $90,000 of marked bills in his freezer. This is quite a case, and Melanie, many people, including some who are clearly doing it for partisan political reasons, like John Boehner, the minority leader in the House, are calling for the immediate resignation of Jefferson, and Boehner has also urged the Ethics Committee to fast-track its review of his behavior, and somehow Boehner can overlook Jerry Lewis and John Doolittle and all the other people we talk about who happen to have an R behind their names, but for the moment, let's focus on Jefferson. I think he ought to resign.
I think he ought to resign, too. And just one little correction, it's a 16-count indictment, not 18, but that's still an awful lot of counts at 94 pages, and it details an incredible amount of corruption over a period of years, starting since 2001, regarding the congressman's activities helping American businessmen do business in Ghana and Nigeria, and he started taking bigger and bigger cuts out of these business interests in order to provide that help, even though he was on the Africa Trade Caucus and the Nigeria Caucus, which were supposed to help get business people to invest in Africa to improve African economies. That all said, and it looks terrible for Mr. Jefferson. Not only is the $90,000 in his freezer, he's on tape, videotape soliciting a bribe, and there are two cooperating witnesses, one who's a former staffer and one of those business people who have already pleaded guilty in this case and have gone to jail for 10 years each for bribery. And so Mr. Jefferson, in my book, is going to jail, and it is just a matter of time. I think that the Justice Department is probably going to be bargaining with him to get a plea by saying they won't indict his family members, who the indictment makes clear were very involved in these crimes, if he pleads guilty. Now, all that said, John Boehner just can't be taken seriously, and it's just, I don't know how the man wakes up and looks at himself in the mirror, calling for the expulsion of William Jefferson when he's been indicted, when John Boehner was totally silent when we saw Tom DeLay, Duke Cunningham, and Bob Ney indicted last year. It's just, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and I really don't know how Boehner with himself.
You're right. He has had his shame glands completely removed.
Right, but that is doesn't mean that Jefferson shouldn't be leaving, you know, today.
Right. No, I mean, John Boehner and I arrived at the same conclusion from very different places.
That's right. And you just can't take, I don't even think that anybody in the Republican Party can take John Boehner seriously. And in fact, one of my favorite Republican congressmen, Jeff Flake, can't. Jeff Flake is from Arizona, and he's actually great on earmark reform. He was great on earmark reform last term. And that really hurt him with his own party. But even he said, you know, at least Jefferson, like all other people, is entitled to the presumption of innocence, and I think John Boehner was a little much for him to take, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Melanie. Good work.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. That's Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Next, we go to your calls, and the switchboard is wide open for the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Tell me what's on your mind today. We'll take your calls right after this break.
This is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. The concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And hopefully you'll like this traffic report. Let's get to it. We got a little problem in, well, let's see. We had a Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 after Highway 1. Big rig blocking one of the lanes there. Rio Del Mar, Townsend Drive at Granada. It's a tree and a power lines down. Fire department is on scene there handling that situation. Other than that, to be honest, not a whole lot going on. Looks like Santa Cruz, Highway 1 northbound at Emmeline, off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day, which is for long-term road work, by the way. We are going to mention the support brought to you by the Toyota Prius. Toyota Prius with an EPA estimated 60 miles per gallon in the city. Visit your local Toyota dealer and find out why the Prius is the one car people said they would buy again. Prius, yes. That is traffic on KRXA.
Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we just got word that the governor's coming to Monterey tomorrow.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
Girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
Now, for over a year and a half, we've been requesting an interview with Governor Schwarzenegger. He pops up on the right-wing radio shows up and down the state on a regular basis, but somehow he hasn't been able to fit us into his schedule. And when he was running for his first full term after the recall term was expiring, he came to a closed meeting, a fundraiser, in Marina near Monterey and just down the road from KRXA. And my producer at the time, Matt Renner, and I went over there, and we tried to gain entry first as citizens, and we were rejected because we weren't presenting checks. And then we tried to gain access as members of the press, and they said, oh, press isn't invited. This is an election event. And so now the governor is coming to Portola Plaza in Monterey. He is hosting a town hall meeting tomorrow at 10:30. And I would like to request a couple of volunteers who could either take time off from work, or maybe you're in your golden years and don't have to work, to attend this conference tomorrow and see if you could ask some questions on my behalf. So if you're in the Monterey area and you have the time to stop by and gaze at the governor at 10:30 tomorrow at Portola Plaza, give me a call at 888-5-PETER-B, and we can talk about what you're interested in, and I'll tell you what I'm interested in, and see if we can get some of those questions asked and answered. My number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and I need a couple of volunteers from Monterey, Sand City, Marina, Pacific Grove, somewhere nearby, who can come and attend this town hall meeting. And it's not just Arnold. He's bringing his senior health policy advisor, Herb Schultz, who is described as a good guy and a real brain on health care issues. Department of Corrections Chief Deputy Secretary Maricela Montes, she's got no authority. Special Advisor David Crane, I'm not sure what he does. Environmental Protection Agency Secretary Linda Adams, Bay Delta Authority Director Joe Grinstaff, Secretary of Education Dr. David Long, Department of Finance Director, the guy who runs the budget, Mike Genest, and the head of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, Secretary A.G. Kawamura. I don't even know who that is. This is going to be tomorrow at Portola Plaza in Monterey, so if you're able to attend, give me a call, and we can talk a little bit about what I think the governor needs to answer some questions on. So get on the line, we can talk about that. Also, I referenced last hour when we were visiting with Chalmers Johnson that Michael Scheuer has an article that's up today, and Terry, who has the Kawasaki email address, sent this to me. It's in the Asia Times, and their website is just atimes, A-T-I-M-E-S.com, and you can find this online for yourself. But it's an interesting story about an American whose given name was Adam Kadahn, G-A-D-A-H-N, and he is now known as Azam al-Amriki. Azam the American is his handle at al-Qaeda. And he has emerged as the third most important spokesman, according to Scheuer, of al-Qaeda leaders. So that's pretty interesting. I'll take another look at this during the break and see if there's more information worth passing along to you. But that's what I know about that for now. 888-5-PETER-B is the free speech zone. My lines are wide open for the rest of this hour, and I'd like to hear from you. So get on the phone right now. I need a couple of volunteers to go to the governor's town hall meeting in Monterey tomorrow, so come forward and help me out on that. 888-573-8372, or you can email peter at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Free Speech Zone. Pick up the phone and join the conversation here. Otherwise, you're going to get a monologue. Is that a threat you can live with? 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I need a volunteer or two to attend the Governor's Town Hall meeting in Monterey tomorrow. Give me a call and we can conspire. And again, my number is 1-888-573-8372. I spent earlier today 3 hours hosting the Tom Hartman program. Our listeners in Monterey will hear that at 8 o'clock tonight on KRXA. Had another great outing, a lot of interesting comments, and we kicked off the show talking about the Republican Love Fest, the joint appearance by the Republican presidential candidates in New Hampshire last evening. And it was interesting in a couple of ways. First of all, the Republicans have decided that they can run against the incumbent president of their party, George W. Bush. They've really kind of dropped back from all the politeness and the idea of not invoking or criticizing the Bush administration. And I found it interesting, one of the darkest comments came from Tom Tancredo, who is a knuckle-dragging congressman from Colorado, the guy who makes immigration reform and a real hateful anti-amnesty approach his signature. And he told a story that was just a little dark. The question was, if you were elected president, you know, they asked the Democrats how they would use Bill Clinton. So they asked these Republicans how they would use George W. Bush. And the answer from Tom Tancredo? He recalled that White House aide Karl Rove had once told him, never darken the door of the White House again. And Tancredo said he would tell Bush the same thing. It is interesting to see the bad blood between Republicans that is breaking out into the open after years of very severe discipline. There's also a crack up on the anti-abortion, the pro-life team. There's some of them who think that the recent Supreme Court decision on so-called partial birth abortion, late-term abortion is the appropriate term, actually is a roadmap to conduct abortions after the first trimester. And so they're slinging arrows and mud at one another. And I can only sit back and say, really, don't stop. Don't stop for me. The other criticism of Bush, Duncan Hunter, who also tries to be tough on immigration. He wants the wall being built along the Mexican border, the security fence, to be named after him. He says the Bush administration has the slows when it comes to building the fence. It was authorized by an act of Congress last year, and precious little fencing has gone up. McCain criticized the administration for its handling of the occupation. Mitt Romney said, I think we were underprepared and underplanned for what came after we knocked down Saddam Hussein. So that's interesting. And if you want to comment, maybe you got a chance to watch the GOP thing last night. Feel free to give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, I mentioned last hour and then again just a few minutes ago that Michael Scheuer, who worked at the CIA until he published a book called Anonymous that was critical of the Bush administration. And, of course, at CIA, he ran the Bin Laden desk. He's published an article that you can read online at the Asia Times, and their website is simply atimes.com. And in this article, Scheuer describes an American recruit to al-Qaeda, as I mentioned, his given name, Adam Gadahn, G-A-D-A-H-N, and he's now known as Azam al-Amriki. And I didn't know this until I read this article, and thanks to Terry Kawasaki for sending it my way, that this guy Gadahn issued a videotape on May 29th. You didn't hear about it either, did you? Called Legitimate Demands. And according to Scheuer, it amplifies and clarifies Bin Laden's multiple warnings to the American people about future attacks. And one of the things that Bin Laden is, as a devout Muslim, even if he does twist Islam for his purposes, he is offering that if Americans convert to Islam, we won't be attacked anymore. And so Gadahn says in this videotape, May 29, it is unique. This is Scheuer talking about the tape. It is unique in the al-Qaeda archive in its almost complete lack of Islamic terminology and allusions, as well as in its frank, almost brutal directness. In the video, Gadahn not only emphasizes the threats by Bin Laden already, but, in essence, says time is up for Americans to consider his boss's words and warns that an attack on the United States is near. Gadahn first deftly turns the idiomatic phrasing of some American leaders' rhetoric back on them, describing Washington's actions in Iraq and Afghanistan as your empire of evil and asserting that al-Qaeda is not calling for negotiations. We don't negotiate with baby killers and war criminals like you. No, these are legitimate demands that must be met. A clear play on the White House spokesperson's 2005 to Bin Laden's truce offer, quote, we don't negotiate with terrorists, we put them out of business. Then Gadahn denounces the futile, farcical maneuvers on Capitol Hill. You may or may not be aware of it, but today things aren't going well for your crusader coalition. In fact, things are going really badly. In other words, you're losing on all fronts and losing big time. Bin Laden's use of implication, ambiguity, and a patient, in sorrow, not anger tone is gone. In their place, Gadahn substitutes, and we must assume with the consent of Bin Laden and Zawahiri, implacable demands that al-Qaeda knows cannot and will not be met. Very interesting stuff, and you can read all about it for yourself online. All right, let's go to your calls, and thanks for dialing us up. I appreciate that. And Donna in Big Sur is on the line. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, Peter. I'm just faithfully listening every day, but I just got to say, I think, you know, something that's going on here is, I'm not sure about this, but I think that some of us are so overwhelmed by the amount of information that's coming at us that somehow, sometimes we're not exactly sure which position to take or what point to take.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think that one of the things that's going on is that there's some kind of a subtle, shall we say, base of fear trying to make us, you know, so overwhelmed and so afraid to talk about what's going on that people start getting leery about calling up or something.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Well, the phones have been quiet in the last few weeks, and I'm not sure why. It's summertime, and some people's schedules and routines are a little different because they don't have to pick up the kids and that sort of routine.
Yeah, well, that's you know, there's that, but...
But it does puzzle me at times when there are such important things to talk about, and people, I'm sure you're listening. It's not like if nobody calls that I think nobody's listening.
We just,
but
there's so much information. It's like, how do you dissect it all? How do you figure out what's real, what's not real? I mean, they throw everything at you every day. It's like, okay, it's TB, it's measles, it's the next plot, it's the JFK, it's, you know, it's like for a lot of people, I mean,
it's enough
myself,
to drive you to escape into American Idol and the Paris Hilton pardon.
Right, it's a lot to absorb. But overall, I just want to thank you so much for keeping up the information going out to all of us. Because we need that. We need that information to make some sort of a decision about what we're going to do in the future.
Well, Donna, I'm glad you called to air that out, and I appreciate your comments. And if anybody else wants to explain what you think is going on, why people are either reluctant to call or just overwhelmed, I'd like to hear your point of view. I thank you for that, Donna.
All right, thanks, Peter.
Okay.
Bye.
And person on line two doesn't want to go on the air but wants to know what time the town hall meeting is. 10:30 at Portola Plaza in Monterey tomorrow. That is Thursday, the 7th of June. And Portola Plaza number one at the Monterey Conference Center. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, I'll be there.
Oh, you going to go?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, Donna, if you're going to go, let's conspire a little bit.
All right.
I would like somebody, I mean, it's right here on the agenda that the governor wants to talk about the prison system.
Okay.
And one of the easiest ways they could reduce overcrowding and avoid having the courts take control of the State Department of Corrections is to revise our sentencing policies. And there are over 11,000 life prisoners who were sentenced before 1977, who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and some of them are in their 80s.
Oh my God.
And they are so unlikely to commit another crime that it's ridiculous to keep them locked up. And the governor removed from the May budget revise, and we talked with John Laird about this, the budget chair, on our program about 10 days ago. He removed a minor spending allocation for a commission to review the sentencing laws in California and find a way that preserves public safety but allows some of the, you know, least likely repeat offenders to be released from prison. And if you have a chance, I'd like you to ask him about why he has balked at pursuing sentencing reform, because it's one of the smartest ways that we can reduce the population and the cost of our prison system, which is now costing us more than our higher education system.
Wait, if I get a chance, I will.
Okay, Donna, thanks.
Great. Yep.
All right, let me scroll down here, and Billy Sunshine joins us now on line three. Hello, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to disagree with you. We never get to do that.
Oh, please do.
You know when you were talking about the New York guys, about how they were sort of entrapped?
Uh-huh.
I think that's exactly what we should be doing. It seems to me that there's a lot of these sort of nuts that are floating around and that they're going to be absorbed by someone. And it's better that we sort of absorb them than that somebody who's serious about doing something absorb them. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to get at?
Well, I do. My problem is that we have law enforcement by press release. We have this fear-mongering, and you ever play the game around the swimming pool where you get somebody on the diving board and you pretend you're going to push them in, then you pull them back and say, I saved your life?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I see going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, now that part's true.
You know, you give me a real investigation. For example, you have not heard me slam the Fort Dix pizza delivery scheme that was busted up by the feds.
Why not?
Because it appears to me that that one had some legitimacy and that this is a real investigation into real people who had some real intentions. Now, I may amend that in the future if a good investigator reporter tells me more about that.
Yeah.
But right on the face of it, the day two story about the JFK jet fuel blow-up is that these guys didn't have a clue. They didn't have any money. They didn't know how to do this. They were just loudmouths who, you know, appeared to be spouting off for the benefit of one another.
And the point is they have the passion that in somebody else's hands, who do know what they want to do. These are the privates. These are the people that are just get used in a plot eventually when these things do come up. These are the, you know, these are the people they would look to. And better that we sort of pull them out than wait for someone serious to get them.
Well, but here's my point. It's fine to investigate people when there's probable cause. We don't need the Patriot Act. There are plenty of laws on the books that permit our authorities to follow people, to tap their phones with a court order, and to monitor the videotapes that they take over to the drugstore, you know, to convert to a DVD. All of that strikes me as reasonable law enforcement techniques. Where it breaks down for me, Billy, is when at the center of each one of these we see a paid government informant.
You don't think our guy should be the guy saying, let's go destroy America?
No.
See, I do.
No. See, that smacks of COINTELPRO and the J. Edgar Hoover program of the
60s. Yeah, I do get that.
No, we don't need to push people over the line. We can watch them. Infiltrating them doesn't offend me. But when you infiltrate and then the infiltrator becomes a group leader and says, hey, why don't we swear an oath to Osama bin Laden? That is crossing the line, Billy. Thanks for disagreeing.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy.
I love it. We get too many choir calls here. And now all the lines are jammed. I'm going to take as many calls as I can before the end of the show. But first, an important break to pay for the bills here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all-natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Well, how
I'll do. Let's take a look at traffic and last traffic for the night. Okay, CHP telling us about a problem here. It's our computer updates. It's in Rio Del Mar, Townsend Drive at Granada. Tree and power lines down. Not good news there. And we're also going to tell you about an injury crash in Castroville. Paramedics, fire department on scene. This would be Castroville Boulevard at 156. Two vehicles blocking lanes and emergency crews very well should be on. In fact, they are on hand at this point. Capitola, northbound 1 at 41st. The off-ramp is blocked. The reason? A disabled vehicle. On Highway 17, northbound and southbound looking pretty good. In fact, no problems to report there in either direction. Orkin Pest Control, a termite queen, can lay as many as 30,000 eggs a day. That's a lot of mouse to feed. Don't let your...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 52 minutes past the hour, 8 in front of the next. You got it. The locals call it PG. Let's go to Pacific Grove next. Marianne's on the line. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Peter. If I have time tomorrow, and I may, I will go down and hear himself talk.
Okay. It's at 10:30 at 1 Portola Plaza there, the conference center. You know it.
I know it. What I'm going to, if I can get in, talk about the prison system and, of course, health care.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something, and I kind of like to add to it, that some of these prisoners who have been in so many years need real babysitting when they get out. You know, they can't just be taken down to the Greyhound station and dropped. They'll just fall apart.
Yeah.
So, there's an aftercare thing going on here. It's not that they're inside. It's they're so institutionalized.
And well, sure. I mean, some of these people have been in prison since the 1970s.
Yep. I won't go into it now, but you take a person out who's been in so long that he's never seen a cell phone.
Yeah, the internet, cable TV. I mean, I know guys who have been in a long time, and when they come out, it is a Rip Van Winkle moment.
It is, and it's very hard to adjust. And, of course, the first thing they know how to do is break the law, which got them in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the friends they have, too.
Yeah, it is.
We gave them a higher education in crime.
Yeah, so I would add that to what you just said, is we can't just take them out and dump them.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, if you want to put it on your list, is I'd love to hear the governor respond to why he jammed through the $7 billion capital improvement for the prison system in 4 days.
Yeah.
Without any public input, and you could also ask him about the secret construction of the new death chamber at San Quentin.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been in the old one when it was still the gas chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took out the chairs and put in a table. You
know? That's right.
That was about it.
Yeah. All right, Marianne, thanks. I hope you can stop by. And if so, can you report in tomorrow about 5:30?
Absolutely.
I'd love to get an update on the governor's town hall meeting. Now to Larry in Aptos. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, hi. I heard your show this morning, and it piqued my interest that a few people called up and Serbia and Croatia, the Yugoslavian Civil War came up as an issue.
Yeah.
I have to say that I think a lot of Americans don't know much about it.
You're right.
I think it was important that America and NATO did intervene. What has troubled me, though, is that there are Serbian apologists around, David Emery of KKUP being one of them. And I've always wondered where these people have gotten their information to let Serbia off the hook so much. Not that Croatians didn't also commit some atrocities against Bosnians.
Mm-hmm.
I know they did. I've read about them. Not
yeah.
that I was there,
right.
but I've read about them.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to look at the Kosovars, the Albanian Muslims, and that part of the former Yugoslavia, and the way ethnic cleansing was applied to them by the Serbs.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing, though, I've heard Emery talk about this subject a number of times. He ties it with his Islamic militants, and that's one of the reasons he has been so, backing Milosevic and the Serbians, is that he says the Bosnia became a hotbed of his, and it attracted all these Islamic militants, members of Hamas, members of Hezbollah. I don't know where he gets his information about that. But I have to wonder if any of that's true.
And, I can only speculate. I don't have any direct connections, pardon me, or sources. Anecdotally, you know, I have heard that there are some individuals who were Islamic fighters in Kosovo who have now shown up in other zones, like working for the Taliban or fighting with the Al-Qaeda groups, as small as they are, in Iraq.
Yeah.
But, you know, a handful of people who are soldiers of fortune or just kind of, you know, professional lifetime fighters, that doesn't make a solid, actionable, operational connection.
Right, and I think that's something, you know, I've heard from him, I've heard from a few other people, and, I just kind of wonder, like, where are they getting their information? Now, oddly enough, one of these Sport Dix guys apparently was an Albanian Muslim, so, mm-hmm. You know, someone might be out there trying to investigate him and finding out what his connections are to the bad guys, as George Bush would call them.
Well, and these wars do attract certain types of people who, you know, like combat, like a fight. It appeals to their inner self in some manner or another. And again, that doesn't set a trend that says that, you know, these are organized contacts between organized groups.
Yeah. One last thing. I would have hoped that Wolfie and Rummy and all those other guys in Bush's White House would have looked at the Yugoslavian Civil War before deciding that Iraq would be a really good place to invade, because history is kind of repeating itself there in many ways.
You're sure right, Larry, and I've made that point before, that the Balkans were an example of where you blow the lid off of one of these artificial states, and what follows is actually worse. I'm not a fan of Marshal Tito, but, you know, after his passing, the country broke apart, and the factions started to fight, and he was able to maintain discipline in that country by having everybody opposed to him. And that is very similar, or similar, as some people mispronounce it, to what we did in Iraq. You're right.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Okay, good to talk to you, Larry. Really appreciate it.
All right.
And I'm sorry we've run out of time, and you folks need to call earlier in the hour. I'm not going to discipline you, but you get the idea. If you call earlier, we can get you in, and when we're out of time, we're out of time. Trigger's here. I got to saddle up and ride off into the California sunset with some fresh cherries. We'll be back at you tomorrow, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's every parent's nightmare. Greg Smith of Overland Park, Kansas, is living it. His daughter, apparently abducted on Saturday, was found dead today. He wants to thank all the people who rallied to the family's side.
While the outcome was not what we'd hoped for, it did not lessen the effort of those who were out there helping.
Kelsey Smith was 18. She just graduated from high school.
She could walk into a room of strangers and walk out with a room full of friends.
She was last seen in the parking lot of a Target store after doing some shopping. CBS News correspondent Gwen Belton reports police are looking for a man who apparently followed the victim.
They have video actually showing this person in close proximity to Kelsey while she was in the store. This person also, they have video of this person leaving the store. They have not described this man, who is labeled a person of interest, as a suspect, but someone they do want to talk to who may have some information about her disappearance.
A 14-year-old Bloomfield, Connecticut girl who disappeared almost a year ago was found alive today when police searched a house in West Hartford.
One of the investigators moved a large bookcase and found a concealed room that had been secured and locked, and found the juvenile inside.
Captain Jeffrey Blatter says the owner of the house, a 41-year-old man, is under arrest, along with the 40-year-old woman living with him. Blatter describes the victim as a child from troubled circumstances who was known to run away and found what she believed to be a friend. Tuberculosis patient Andrew Speaker, on the speaker phone from his isolation room, talked to Congress to a congressional hearing today, explaining his decision to jump on a plane after learning he had a dangerous form of TB.
I just wanted to get home, and I'm sorry for all the stress I've caused people, but I hope they understand where I was, and I hope it changes the policy, and I hope the way they handle things changes.
Speaker claims he was told he was not contagious and not a threat to anyone. As CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the panel wanted government officials to explain why he wasn't stopped.
Homeland Security officials offered no excuse for letting Speaker cross the border from Canada. They say the guard saw a note on his computer to hold the man and put him in isolation and chose instead to just wave him through because he looked healthy. The top official for the Centers for Disease Control say they messed up too by assuming Speaker would follow medical advice when in fact he chose to fly to Europe for his long-planned wedding.
Like